Gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late? Got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry can't stay. I gotta run, run, yeah. Gotta get home, pick up the phone, gotta let the people know I'm gonna be late.
Hey everybody, Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Joining us in studio, triple threat actor, singer, dancer, Adrian Zemed.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, holy mackerel. And Chicago Cubs fan.
No doubt about it.
Bears fan, Cubs fan, Bulls fan, Blackhawks fan, Chicago food fan. And how was your week, man? Did you get caught up in the draft?
Me?
Yeah. I know you're in the fantasy leagues and that kind of stuff.
The NFL draft, you mean?
NFL draft.
Yeah. Since the Bears don't have a pick until round three, I just kind of perused at who picked what last night. And I think the big controversy is the quarterback pick by the Giants. And then apparently everybody thinks that the Skins got the best quarterback.
Super fan, author Thomas White.
Hey, nice to see everybody. Yes, you know, the Giants ended up having a really good draft. They picked Dexter Lawrence and also DeAndre Baker, two very, very solid players. So outside of the controversy of Daniel Jones, and I certainly wouldn't have picked him myself, but the other two picks were really solid.
And now also, you know, being here in Las Vegas, I've become a relatively new hockey fan. I was never a big hockey fan before, but now I am. And I saw Game 7 of our Vegas Golden Knights
Incredible.
Lose. And in studio, we've got Dr. Phil.
Hey, how are you,
there
folks?
You go, yeah.
Now, listen, I know a lot of people are upset about what happened, but don't worry. We are going to get through this because, remember, like everything else, doesn't matter how thin you make a pancake, it's got two sides.
What does that mean?
I feel so much
so
better
many
now.
Things.
I've been promised maple syrup by my assistant Lala, and I don't know where that maple syrup is. Dr. Phil, how do you suggest that people deal with what we're calling hockey depression?
Well, remember, if you're not first, you're last. And if you're last, you're a loser. So do whatever you can to get those feelings of depression out of your system.
Now, Tom White, you've got some real strong feelings about the Golden Knights and the penalty
well,
and the bad
call. I will tell you this. I saw a wonderful meme this morning where it showed the New Orleans Saints, Los Angeles Rams championship game in the NFC Championship, and the Rams defensive back crushing the New Orleans Saints wide receiver that essentially knocked the Saints out of the Super Bowl. And it said above it, worst call ever. And below it was a picture of the NHL ref who called the penalty against the Knights.
Right.
And the caption was, hold my beer. Because you never think you're going to see a call so egregious like that in two different moments. And I'm like Jonathan, new to the hockey game, and I'm learning how to see what's a penalty and what's not. But I got to tell you, I saw nothing that justified a 5-minute major.
Wow.
And
not even close.
And the fact that what the Sharks saw was apparently what the referee thought he saw, which was not what happened, but that's what they saw, and they came out with a vengeance at that point.
Well, I was flying at the time, so I missed the whole thing. What was the penalty? What was
that drugs? You wouldn't say you were flying.
And boy, are his arms tired. it was the and I don't know the players involved, but the Knight player, it was a face-off, and he came up with a stick and knocked the Sharks player in the chest. All right, which it wasn't high sticking or anything, it just knocked in his chest. But he lifted him off the ground, and a second Knights player came by coincidentally and hit him, upending him, and the Sharks player's head hit the ice.
And that's the most important thing, because it was accidental, that
yes,
second hit.
Totally accidental, but that's not what the referee saw. What the ref saw was the arms going up. He thought it was a stick to the face, and consequently, and the player was down. I mean,
there was blood on the ice.
Yeah, he was hurt. He was
right.
down, but it was
I'm
not
a doctor,
because of the
I know these things.
Now, as a doctor, how would you suggest people?
You know, I have this growth right now.
Wow. Put your pants back on.
That is something. It is off camera.
If you're close to a computer, you can also watch us on Facebook at Jonathan Scott LV, J-O-N-A-T-H-N.
Not that you want to see that.
Scott LV. So coping with defeat, Dr. Phil.
Well, you know, we can all look towards the Raiders coming in 2 years, and that's going to be exciting. And be proud of the fact that the Las Vegas Golden Knights had a hell of a season. They just had a crappy final game, but they really did have a really solid season. And some of these games were a little lopsided, but if they that final period, if they had been playing like that the rest of the game, those earlier periods, I think it would they would have won. They didn't really awaken until after that incident, and neither did the Sharks.
You know, I have to just say this to kind of put this whole horrific situation to bed. In 50 years, when the Knights look back at their history, I am hoping that this is the lowest moment of their entire existence, because they were up 3-1. They had ample opportunities to win games 5 and 6, and they didn't. They went into game 7, and they have a 3-goal lead with 10 minutes to play. And at that moment in time, the Sharks had a 2% chance of winning this series. And they, whatever happened on both sides of that puck, they let it go, and boom. One of the most major collapses in NHL history, in my mind. And I hope that they learn from this and they move forward. And you can complain all you want about the hit and the call, because it was an awful call. But they were still up 3-0 when it happened.
Have you ever seen 3 goals that quickly? I mean, that
fast. It was 4 goals in 4 minutes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, in game 1 of this series. They were up 3-0 in the first period, and the Sharks came back and went bam, bam, bam.
Their nemesis.
So
new franchise first year to the SC final and blow the second year playoff game. Please, come on. Corey says that, Dr.
He's very upset. He needs to calm down.
We got
to. I would recommend meditation and some Quaaludes.
What about liquor? Can you throw some?
That's good. Do you mix Quaaludes with liquor? It knocks you right out. You forget everything.
What kind of doctor are you?
I'm not really sure. I went to school in Grenada.
There you go.
I want to say a very good doctor myself.
He's an Oprah doctor.
Oprah, my personal savior, Oprah. She picked me right out of Pumpkin Patch, Texas. I was selling shoes.
Is that what you were selling?
That's what I was selling, shoes.
Yeah, Tom McCann. I thought you were selling, wasn't it? It was about beef.
What's beef. I came in as an expert witness for the beef council because Oprah said hamburgers weren't good.
So those that are coping with depression over this hockey thing, you think Quaaludes and meditation.
Well, just focus on the good things in life.
Well, remember, focus backwards is suck off.
Right, that's true. How's that working out for you?
Well, I'm not depressed about it because, again, I'm a new fan.
You're a new
and
fan.
And I'm looking forward to talking about football because, to me, there's only 2 seasons, football season and
the rest of all the other crap.
And, yeah, I know the other stuff. But, yeah, I mean, we could talk about Michael Jordan coming out and saying that Tiger Woods' comeback is the best comeback in sports history. Adrian Zemed, what do you have to think about that?
Wow. I just heard that from you. That's I had the first no idea.
But you got to see Michael.
I don't even know how to compute that at this point.
He's still thinking about Quaaludes and meditation.
Right. I'm still on a plane coming in from the East Coast right
now. What kind of meditation, Dr. Phil, do you recommend? Any transcendental? Dental's
good. Dental. You know, I have a meditation app, you know.
You do?
Meditate, 3, 2, 1. It's really been successful.
Yeah.
Been downloaded over 5 times.
You have?
By three different people.
Right.
So people had talked about anger issues, Dr. Phil. And I used to hear about hockey. I'd ask people, I said, what do you like about hockey? And they always used to say the fights. But there's not as many fights as there was. There was during this playoff.
I remember during the 70s with the remember the Broad Street Bullies, the Philadelphia Flyers.
No.
They were fighting all the time. There were constantly fights breaking out. It's kind of the culture of the Canadians. Everyone thinks these are such nice people, but they're horrible, horrible people, and they fight all the time.
I have a friend named Marty McSorley, mm-hmm. who's a hockey player who holds the record for the largest timeout ever.
Hockey.
I think it was a year. It was an entire year.
That's a long time in the penalty box, man.
He busted somebody's jaw. He busted somebody's jaw. Of course, we saw some great Bobby Hull and some great Blackhawk players. Stan Mikita, Stan the man. But people are, really have hockey depression. But I think they're coping with it well, Dr. Phil, here in Las Vegas. They, you know, even though the NHL came out and apologized for the bad call.
And that always makes everyone feel so much better, doesn't it?
I'm sorry.
I am so happy when they come back after the fact and say, oh, I'm sorry, we missed that. You're not going to the Super Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry, we missed that. No, you don't get to advance in the playoffs. But we're really sorry. Come on. Oh.
Dr. Phil, how do you feel about people being sorry?
Well, you know, don't be sorry about anything. Don't ask for forgiveness. Just move forward. That's the most important thing you can do.
Yeah, get past it.
Get over it.
No, I'm
going to trademark that. Get over it.
Get over it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Get over it and move on.
Now, I know that doctors, particularly in your category, talk about dieting a lot.
I wrote a diet book.
You did? What's it called?
I got a new book out. It's called I'm Okay, You're a Mess. That's online. You can get that at any of the major outlets.
Tom wrote a book, too. I'm writing a book called How to Fail Successfully.
Failing upwards?
Yes. Yeah. How to Fail Successfully. Yeah. And, Tom, we were talking about dieting and one of our other three
I was going to actually write my own diet book, but I couldn't come up with a second sentence. The first sentence was, eat less and exercise. Mm-hmm. And then I was stumped.
That's more of a pamphlet.
Totally writer's block from that point on. I
eat less and move around more.
Right.
Yeah, my diet that I wrote is step away from the table.
Step away
from
the table.
Put the fork down.
So Dr. Phil,
step away from the babysitter.
We've covered depression. Mm-hmm. We've talked about anger issues, coping with defeat in life. And I always say Coach Ditka always would start with in life. Anything he would answer would be in life. Life, you know, opposed to out of life. So how in life do we cope with defeat?
How do we cope with defeat? It's always focus on the positive. Be grateful for the wonderful things in your life. Be grateful that we have a team, because 3 years ago, we didn't even have a team to be depressed about. So if we could all just go back in time, everyone would be happy. So let's get the Golden Knights out of town and go back to a town that doesn't have an NHL team.
Well, how do you explain that to a Cubs fan before they won the World Series in 2016?
Well, after you can't really go back.
Years.
We'd have to get into a much bigger time machine.
Yeah, you can't really go back 110
okay.
years.
All right, 108 years. Okay.
108 years.
They had a bad century.
But they broke out, and that's the important
point.
There
you
go. They stuck with it.
Now, Dr. Phil, you're from Texas, correct?
That's right, Plano, Texas.
And don't you? Some people have rumored that Texas should secede from the Union, and
well,
they
can. It was its own country at one point.
So
a lot
it
of people
can
don't
actually
really,
secede.
What
it
do you can.
Actually, it does. In the Texas state constitution, it allows them to secede from this
right.
from the United States.
Actually, I've been there many times, and I think it actually still is its own.
It
own
does.
Country,
it feels like a totally different place. You can go there. It's like going to a foreign country.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Phil, this has been very, very helpful to our
Thank
listeners.
Thank you.
Well,
I've got to get on to my regular show.
Yeah, the regular
Today
show.
Today we have a girl who eats chalk and spits peanut butter, so we're very excited.
We're going to take a short commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Stay right where you are.
Hey, Las Vegas. Are you looking for a new job, changing careers, or are you looking to hire that perfect new employee? Mike Holton Staffing Resources has positions open in all fields, including the hospitality industry. Do you need an administrative assistant, a bookkeeper, a receptionist, or a salesperson? With over 40 years in job placement, Mike Holton Staffing Resources can help you be happy in a new and fulfilling career, or help you fill that hard-to-find job. Mike Holton Staffing Resources, human resource professionals. For a personal interview, call Jennifer at 702-805-1493. That's 702-805-1493.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is Jonathan Scott here on Vegas Nonstop. We've had a great week, and we invite you next Friday to join us over at Sapphire topless day pool. We're going to be there from Friday to 12 to 2.
Hey, you're topless, Jonathan?
No, I keep my shirt on, Amy.
Thank God.
Do you need a kitchen pass to show up? Do we have to talk to Lisa and say, can Adrian come to the topless pool? I know you're happy at home, but, you know, because I've seen your wife and... there's no shortage of boobage in your house. Also joining us, would you call yourself, I know you're an actor, but would you call yourself impersonator or impressionist?
Actor, impersonator, writer.
Both.
Comedian.
So whatever, thanks for clearing
that
up for me.
Whatever will fit on my business card. No, you know, impressionist is something, you know, for me, I do full makeup and wardrobe and wig, so I'm impersonating the person.
That's more of an impressionist.
No, an impressionist is like who just does the voices.
Rich Little would be.
Yeah, Rich Little
would be a bad.
I'm not touching that.
Okay. Here's what's happening this weekend. Of course, the new Avengers movie. He's old. The new Avengers movie, Endgame, opens this weekend. John DiDomenico, who's your favorite superhero and why?
I'd have to say Captain America. I think he's got one of the coolest stories, the World War II part of it. And how they changed him, and all the films have been really solid.
Are you going to go see The Avengers?
I'll probably see it on the plane.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
No.
Well, basically, nothing happens.
Yeah, it seems
it's one
like
of the most boring trailers you've ever seen.
In
it's
a world. A
bunch of people walking around just talking.
Being
a little,
sorry. It seems like they're all very sorry.
Yeah.
Adrian Zabed, what superhero would you be and why?
What superhero?
Yeah.
The best superhero ever is Superman.
Superman.
Because he can't be killed.
He is always killed.
But he does everything. Everybody else has to have something else going. And what is Batman? He's just got a lot of money with a lot of gadgets.
I'm Batman.
No, it's Superman. He's the
I'm
man.
Batman. Tom White?
You know, in the DC world, those that my daughter being one of these DC freaks that loves this stuff, Batman is the guy. He's the one that controls. He is the ring that controls them all. All right? He's the one that has the kryptonite little gun hidden away in case Superman gets out of line. He's the one that has all of this other stuff going on. For me, though, in the Marvel world, I would be Iron Man. But when you compare the two, they're essentially the same guy.
Yeah, it's the same
they're
character.
They're normal guys that are just incredibly smart with a bunch of money and a bunch of gadgets and turn themselves into superheroes, and I find that impressive.
I'd like to be Wonder Woman just for one day, just to see what it's like.
I said earlier, I love the Amazons because I love a woman you have to climb. So.
I think Iron Man. I would be Iron Man because of Robert Downey Jr. I think made the best comeback of being a heroin addict to becoming a successful actor.
Yeah, him himself, yeah.
just because I'm a Robert Downey Jr. fan. And how great was he with your friend Bill Shatner? He wasn't in that. I was
in
thinking
what?
Of James Spader. I'm sorry.
It's James Spader, I think you're thinking of.
But he would have been great had he been in it.
He would have been great.
James Spader would have made a good superhero.
But Bill is his own superhero because he's Captain Kirk. So
yes.
Captain Kirk can also do anything that Superman
anybody
can do.
That's a captain. Anyway, Sunday, 1 to 4 p.m., Marvel's Avengers Station inside Treasure Island Hotel and Casino is hosting a free party with cosplayers, mask making, and props and costumes.
Cosby's going to be there?
Yes, Cos.
He's playing.
Live from prison.
No problem. Yes, straight from jail. He's playing
the jello pudding.
So that's inside Treasure Island from 1 to 4 on Sunday. Costumes and several Marvel movies. Saturday, 7 p.m., our friend showman Frankie Shinta tells his story at the Alexis Park.
And what I love a story. Frankie.
Frankie has a story to tell about growing up in Buffalo with all of his firemen uncles and his big Italian family. Congratulations to our friends Chris Phillips and the Avi Melandra, a.k.a. Zoe Bowie, on their 13th anniversary. Saturday morning, we're playing in the Italian-American Golf Club tournament at Las Vegas National Golf Course. Foursomes are still available. You can actually show up. It's a 7:30 shotgun. It's $90, and there's foursomes available. For more information,
and there'll be lots
I would say
of
just show up. Just show up. Yeah, just there's a lunch. Just show up.
It'll be a great
90
trip,
bucks
I'm sure.
There. Saturday, for those of you old enough to remember, Frankie Avalon appears at the South Point Showroom.
When? When is he coming in?
He's today.
Today?
Yeah.
I got to give him a call.
Tomorrow.
He's an old buddy. Yeah.
Is he Frankie Avalon? He made all the beach. Didn't he make all the beach movies?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he made all the beach movies, but he was also in Grease.
Yes.
I know, you know, he was Teen Angel and stuff. I've known through Tom Dreesen, I know really Frankie. From all of the runs that we did for Day for Darlene,
I ran a picture of me and Tom Dreesen from 1985 the other on Tossback Thursday or whatever Throwback Thursday, from 1985. That's when I met Tom Dreesen.
Yeah,
Tommy D, great guy. Saturday 8 p.m. At the Orleans, Mary Wilson and Martha Reeves from Martha and the Vandellas, legendary ladies of Motown. Also, Saturday, 7:30, 9:30, enjoy the Downtown Vegas Improv Festival at the El Cortez. Do you know about some improv groups in town, John?
Not here. I mean, I'm all New York, but I didn't even know we had improv groups. I feel out of the loop.
Yeah, at the El Cortez, 7:30 and 9:30.
That's fantastic.
Also, Saturday, Big Dog's Draft House. From 3 to 9 p.m. is hosting their 10th annual Peace, Love, and Happiness Beer Festival on Rancho and Craig. Free admission, live music, tasty barbecue from Chef Sergio. Monday and Tuesday, 9 p.m., Bruno Mars is at the Park Theater. Tickets start at $86. Wednesday, 5 p.m., the Billboard Music Awards is at the MGM Grand Arena. Yeah, and with Cardi B is up for like 21 awards.
Wow.
Proving
wow.
that being a roofie doping hoe wow. can pay off. You got to do that.
I believe it. Cardi B.
Cardi B.
Stripper.
Cardi B.
Cardi B, yeah.
She does that. I yeah. can't even do it.
She's, yeah. Wow, that's that, amazing. Okay. They signed a deal with her over at the yeah. Palms.
Yeah.
How about that video wall on the side of the Palms?
Oh, my God.
Is that so amazing?
I just saw that from the
everything
first time
here
when I
Las
got
Vegas.
Back from the East Coast a few days ago. I said, whoa.
Was that 40 stories?
It's, oh, my God. It's just
from,
amazing. Like,
from Eastern Avenue. You can see it from miles away. It's
really.
You can see it from Chicago, actually.
It's, you can see it from Chicago.
Yeah, if you look,
$700 million dollars on that renovation.
If you're on the top of the Sears Tower, which probably isn't even called the Sears Tower
it's
anymore.
Not. It's, I don't even know what it's called.
Woolworths. I don't know what it's called. It's Woolworths. It's the Woolworths Tower.
They're coming back. They're coming back.
It's the Five and Dive. Thursday, 8 p.m., Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club is opening at The Link, opening with stand-up comic Harlan Williams.
Wait, when is that opening?
Thursday.
Wow.
Thursday, 8 p.m. Yeah, I can't wait to see
didn't
that.
Didn't get my invite.
Also, Thursday, 8 p.m., local favorites Reckless in Vegas is performing at the Smith Center, Rat Pack-style music. Heartbreak Hotel, we were talking about earlier, the new concert experience at Harrah's Las Vegas showcases Elvis Presley's rise to stardom with amazing archival videos, never-seen-before photos of the King in Rock and Roll, starring Eddie Clendening.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be there for the opening,
Sunday?
The press opening on Sunday. Yeah,
Sunday.
I know the entire production team very
That's
well.
What you're saying.
Yeah. And from what I saw when I was there watching their tech run through, it looks pretty cool.
Tom
it
and
really
I have already
looks
seen
pretty
it.
Cool.
We did. We saw it. And I really enjoyed it. And it's not your typical Elvis show. It's not, you know, the jumpsuit and the sideburns. This is kind of a prelude to the Million Dollar Quartet. And it leads to, it teaches you a lot about Elvis's early life, his relationship with his family and his mother and the people around him. And the cast is tremendously talented. I was very impressed with all of them. And I would suggest that you go see it.
More of the Hillbilly Cat. You know, it's like the early Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, and Eddie was in the Million Dollar Quartet on Broadway. Saturday, 7:30 p.m., Miss Dionne Warwick appears at Bally's Theater. Saw Dionne Warwick last week with my friend Al Bishore. We got backstage, and there was Dionne smoking a cool in her house slippers. And
wow.
I've been asking everybody, you know, on the show for a couple of weeks, I've been saying, you know, if you could meet anybody, and I'll ask you, John, if you could meet anybody living or dead for 5 minutes, not a relative, and have a conversation living or dead, who would you talk to?
Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin?
Oh, I like that answer.
Charlie Chaplin. Nice. What would you ask him?
I would ask him, where did all of your ideas come from?
Because
he innovated.
Brilliant. Yeah.
He created cinema, essentially.
Yeah. Well, and he wrote the song Smile. I mean,
yeah. No,
genius.
He's just an incredibly talented person.
Yeah. Well, I asked Dionne Warwick, and her answer was Jesus. And so I said, well, what would you ask Jesus? And she said, how are you doing?
It was actually, how
are
you doing?
You're Jewish?
How are you doing?
I can't believe she
really
smokes.
Did.
It just, that's like
I
shocking.
Guess she got in trouble for smoking weed, somebody said earlier, that she got busted in Florida.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how many singers smoke. I just
Isn't
don't.
It?
I don't understand how they can do it. I mean, I'm out with national tours, and if I do one thing to hurt my voice, I'm
You're
out. I'm
yeah.
out and stuff. I don't
it
see how they do
too,
it.
It hurts me too as a broadcaster. I can't. I used to smoke 4 cigars a day, and I just can't do it. We're going to be on the golf course tomorrow. Well, maybe I'll have one, but I don't have to be on the air.
I used to be auditions at the Equity Building in New York, and all the dancers would smoke. And
dancers
smoke.
Dancers
right.
smoke
thin.
Like
they
beans,
smoke like crazy.
Yeah, they smoke like crazy. But when you're a singer,
the
and
singers.
You
I got a good buddy who's a singer, and every time I look at him, I can't believe he lights up and he'll just stand there and smoke.
Well, speaking of singers, we've got one on the phone right now. Mr. Chris Phillips is on.
Hey,
Zoe, AKA Zoe Bowie. Chris, can you hear us? Okay.
Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy. Congratulations, 13 years, and now your career's taking you to where you're changing diapers.
Wait a minute, are you changing your own diapers?
That really didn't come out that well.
As you're alluding to, I have a new beautiful little child who is now 1.5 years old, and one of the true benefits of having someone that young is that now that I am changing her diaper, by the time she's old enough, she will be changing mine. And so, you know, it's great.
So how has the show evolved over the 13 years that you've been at the Rocks Lounge?
Well, my liver has never been healthier. You know, it's a funny thing. When you get into a band when you're 18 years old, you think to yourself, gosh, you know, beer and chicks, wouldn't that be a great life? And then that's when you're 18, and then you're turning 52, and you're like, what the hell am I doing? What? I need to get a real job, for God's sake.
Yeah, I noticed that the karate kicks have gotten lower and lower.
You know, I'll tell you something. I've never been having more fun or acted more juvenile in my life than I am today. And so, you know, if I grow up, guys, I'm out of business. And
yeah,
so
no, it's terrific.
I'm thoroughly excited the fact that not only we are celebrating our 13th anniversary performing at Red Rock, but this month we are also celebrating the 25th anniversary of the band. So wow. This goes way back. And
people probably
think that I would have matured and grown up by now, but I guess that just isn't going to happen. And we're going to keep this train rolling down the track as long as we can.
Well, we probably both have been diagnosed with delayed development, but you know, I know the show is high energy, and it starts at 11:15, or whenever you're ready. And you've adapted so well throughout the years. And you also, aside from the Rocks Lounge, I mean, people probably ask you all the time, how'd you come up with the name Zoe Bowie? Were you a David Bowie fan?
Isn't that the dumbest name you've ever heard in your life, for God's sakes?
Yeah, Zoe Bowie is like, okay, well, what do we call the band?
It's so memorable. It's so...
You know, I'll be honest, it's the dumbest and the smartest thing I've ever done in my life.
Truly.
In regards to my band, in the sense that certainly it's worked for me. The name has stuck with people. I guess it's catchy and it's unique, I suppose. But I've also had people never come to my show thinking it was a David Bowie tribute show.
Yeah, right.
For many, many years, which we don't do David Bowie even at all, quite frankly. I'm a fan, but I'm not by any means obsessed with him. But it really boils down to the fact that 25 years ago, I was a long-haired heavy metal drummer going nowhere. And I had some friends in a band that were doing this early 80s retro David Bowie type of a band, and the singer got sick, and they said, hey, Chris, here's your chance. Do you want to sing? And so I thought, oh, my God, I'm in my late 20s. I've never held a microphone. I've never sang a note, but I wanted to do this so bad because I've always dreamt of being a front man in Vegas is really what my ultimate goal was. And so I took the gig, and I thought, well, how about if I pretend to be David Bowie's kid, Zoe Bowie? And that way, if I screw up, who cares? I'm David Bowie's kid. And so I did it kind of as a joke, knowing that, you know, the real Zoe Bowie, who, you know, did exist, he changed his name at a young age to Duncan Jones. So nobody was using the name. And I thought, well, what the hell? Let me give this a shot and see if it makes sense. And so I hid behind that name to mask my fear of getting up there. And it's amazing, kind of like in a play, when you put on a costume or you become a different character, you can really become larger than life. And that's what happened with Persona, and it worked. And God forbid, 25 years later, I'm still doing this silly-ass thing. And it's never been better, and I've never been having more fun. And, you know, I hope to write it for another 20 years, because I got to feed this kid until I'm in my 70s, for God's sake.
Hey, Chris, Adrian Smet here. Well, first of all,
hey how
buddy,
are you?
How are you? It's a testament to your talent also that you've been able to survive that long in this town. And a gig in one place for 13 years is completely unheard of. And also, you're doing everything that you should be doing right, and you're still alive to talk about it. So that's an even bigger miracle. So, God bless you, man.
Actually, he passed away 5 years ago.
Pants are now performing for him.
So it's very frightening. I didn't know if we were going to last at all, but what it really boils down to is I think that I can put my finger on our longevity, and that is simply because it's really not about how great a performer may be on stage. It's how great a performer on stage makes the audience feel.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And the audience.
It's not about us. It's about them.
Yeah,
and I think that, you know, we've been very fortunate that the locals have embraced us over the years here. And so, you know, most Vegas shows are geared towards the tourist. It's our show. It's geared towards the people who live here in the greatest city in the world. And so I'm so proud to be part of just a small fabric in the quilt of this community. And, you know, it's the greatest place in the world. And I hope I never have to grow up and go home and, like I said, get a real job. But, you know, in a sense, we feel like we're just getting going. And I have so much more I want to accomplish. And it's just so fulfilling, I guess, to, you know, essentially, sounds corny, but to make people happy and to make people feel good. That's what our show's all about.
You know, Chris, your story actually is very similar to mine in being a drummer turning into a performer. I played the drums in high school. Our lead singer got laryngitis. We went around the band to see who could sing. All of a sudden, I could sing better than anybody, and I sold my drum set and went to acting school. And that was that.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Well, thank God you did.
Chris, you're certainly...
What would the world be without Grease 2?
Well,
TJ Hooker.
Don't forget Bachelor Party.
Bachelor Party. Come on.
I'm not making fun of that at all. I'm so jealous. That was, in fact, probably one of the most inspiring franchise of movies ever to want.
Bachelor Party?
Entertainment or to sing. I just thought that was so cool. I was obsessed with the Grease movies, and I'm so thrilled that years later you became my friend. That's pretty cool.
Well, thanks, Chris.
Well, Chris, you're a staple in the community, and everybody always says the same thing about how humble you are and how nice you are and a great guy, and it's true. And we wish you could come into the studio, but we know you've got to change diapers. So we're happy you had a few minutes to call, and again, congratulations on the great run, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, I'm thrilled for your show and how long you've been doing this as well, my friend. And you were very kind to think of me. And, you know, again, I just can't thank the community enough. But I'd also like to, if I may, real quickly thank the Fertittas, who, in fact, saw me out in Scottsdale 14 years ago and thought, hey, this might be a good fit for our new flagship hotel called Red Rock. And luckily it was, and it worked. And so I owe them everything. And I appreciate Station Casinos for hanging on, and hopefully this will be just the beginning there. So, you guys, I hope you have a great weekend. I thank you so much for calling.
Chris Phillips from Zoe Bowie, everybody. Stay where you are. Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game.
Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. Found my way downstairs and drank a cup. Looking up, I noticed I was late. Found my coat and grabbed my hat. Made the bus in seconds flat. My way upstairs and had a smoke. And somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Jonathan Scott here on Vegas Nonstop on 920 The Game. You can also watch Vegas Nonstop on our new Roku channel, Primetime. Listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Alexa, and on our website, www.vegasnonstop.com. In studio, superfan Tom White, actors John DiDomenico, and triple threat Adrian Zmed. So we're talking NFL draft. Tom White, you want to lead the charge here and talk about what's been going on and what surprises there's been? I know there was less than four quarterbacks picked in the first round.
Yes, and to my point of view, I don't think that's a surprise at all. The quarterback class this season, I think, has been very, very weak. Obviously, Kyler Murray went number one overall to the Cardinals, and they love him, and I hope they're happy with him. Had he not picked him, I don't know where he would have gone. I mean, he could have fallen out of the first round for, you know, I don't think he would have, but he could have fallen at an Aaron Rodgers type of fall.
Does this mean that their current quarterback is Rosen, right?
Yes, Josh Rosen.
What happens to him? He was their number one pick.
Well, this is interesting. Right now, the trade talk is that they're talking to Miami about trading Rosen to Miami. Okay? However, he has an $8 million cap hit if they trade him. He only has a $3 million cap hit if they keep him. So I would not be surprised to see them hold on to him and let them battle it out. And then week two or three in the season, when somebody goes down, suddenly his value is going to be much more significant than it is now.
Right, right.
So as of today, and I'm looking here at ESPN, I haven't seen any news about it. The last I heard was they are talking to Miami about possibly trading him there. So time will tell. We'll see what happens.
And what about for the Eagles with Dillard? Anything?
With Dillard?
Yeah.
I thought Dillard was the I'm such a draft nerd. Mm-hmm. I actually went to Mobile, Alabama in January and went to the Senior Bowl. And yeah,
who was your
laughing.
Date? Who was your date?
It was Dillard was my date. And I'm hooked up with some guys on a on another broadcast that got us into the practices. So we sat there and watched practice for 3 days. I was pretending I was the Chargers GM, so I was looking at offensive, defensive line. I learned a tremendous amount.
You used your acting skills.
It was. There's not a lot of difference between casting and in making a draft pick. You're still looking for the same kind of talent that fits your system. And I went in absolutely blind. I didn't do any homework, so I could just see and have these players jump out and see who I thought were really good. And the two guys that caught my eye was Montez Sweat, the defensive end from Mississippi, who went in the first round, and Andre Dillard, the tackle from Washington State. And to me, after looking at all of the other guys that are, you know, on the board here for tackles, he was the best tackle on the board, in my opinion.
Wow.
And I think he's going to be a great addition to the Eagles. The other team I thought that had a great draft, we were talking earlier, was the Giants. I wasn't crazy about Daniel Jones as a choice. I would have taken Haskins myself, but they like him, so that's good for them. But in the later rounds, they get Dexter Lawrence and then DeAndre Baker. Dexter Lawrence is just going to fill up the middle of that defensive line and help them in their run game tremendously. And DeAndre Baker was the Jim Thorpe Award winner at cornerback. So that was a great first round for them.
Cool.
I'm just amazed how the draft itself has become this enormous,
isn't it amazing?
Event. You look what's happening in Nashville, and you think years ago it was, you know, guys at a phone bank making phone calls, and it was almost like this something that wasn't, you know, external, and now it's totally external. It's event. People travel to these cities to watch people make announcements.
Yeah, and
it's, you know, they're just making an announcement.
200,000 people on Broadway in Nashville last night to watch the NFL draft. I think it's great. I'm particularly excited because next year the NFL draft comes here.
Wow. Oh, wow.
We are going to host the NFL draft.
What hotel?
I don't know any of the specifics.
That's exciting.
It occurred to me, though, that with my production background, I'm making a call on Monday to the NFL office to find out who is coordinating this and see if I can get on staff, because I would love to do it.
When is the Raider Stadium supposed to be finished?
2020. Not this season.
I think I heard Mandalay Bay.
So will it be finished for the draft next year?
No, I don't think it'll be finished by April.
Ah, okay.
But we'll
see. They are moving fast, though. It was like the T-Mobile when that went up. I've never seen anything go up so fast. This is going up relatively fast.
Well, try Viagra.
Yeah. The Viagra Stadium. There you go.
The Viagra Stadium. It went up fast. So, Tom, what about the Raiders? Have they made any?
The Raiders, actually, I thought their first pick was kind of lame. They picked a guy out of Clemson, a defensive end named Clelin Ferrell, who is a first rounder. There's no question about that. But they passed over a lot of guys to get to him. Josh Allen, who I thought was the best player in the draft, they passed over. They passed over a couple other guys to pick this guy. And in most of the mocks that I had seen and participated in, he was in the 20s range, you know, the late teens, early 20s. And they pick him at 4 was quite a leap. After that, though, I thought they did a nice job. They picked up the running back out of Alabama, Josh Jacobs, at 25. And then at 27, they were able to pick up Jonathan Abrams, the safety out of Mississippi State, and I thought that was a really good pick.
So our Bears, they've got fourth round.
Bears have yet
third.
Yet to appear.
Yeah, yet to appear. Yet. Well, we gave up the farm for Mac, so, you know.
Yes, and you also gave it up for Trubisky, so, and well worth it, I thought. I mean... You're gonna suffer a little bit this year in the draft, but you'll be back on board next year, and they're building a good team in Chicago, I think.
Well, we certainly didn't expect them to do what they did last year, based on the new coach and Trubisky taking over completely, and also hopefully it is they just get better and better at this point. Yeah.
So, John, Eagles are your team?
Yeah. Since I was a little kid. Because you have to stick with them through.
Stick with them. I heard Eagles fans. Eagles fans are supposed to be the worst fans.
Oh, well, they're horrible people, but that's just Philly in general.
I'm always amazed at Philadelphia that actually has not only a jail, but a courtyard.
Yeah,
court
they used to
in
have
their
a court.
Stadium.
They had a processing court.
And they
court.
Are proud of it.
Yeah. Well, that was Veterans Stadium, so.
I don't think it's in the link now.
It is. No, they still have it.
Really?
They still have it there. Yeah.
I thought they got
they have an electrocution chair now in the stadium.
That's for the people they like.
That's only because the rack broke, so they had to bring in the electric chair.
Old Sparky. So we've got Adrian Zimmet in the studio. We've got John DiDomenico and superfan Tom White. We're going to come back and talk about baseball a little bit.
And Totally Outrageous Brunch.
And Totally Outrageous.
Have you heard about the Totally Outrageous Brunch?
I heard it was voted the best 1 o'clock Sunday, 1:15 show on the
Strip. In the SLS Sayers room.
Yes.
Other than that, we're up against.
We've got an Amazon special we want to talk about, too. So anyway, you could find us on our new Roku channel, Primetime. Listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Alexa, and on our website, VegasNonstop.com. You're listening to us here on 920 The Game. We're going to take a short commercial break. Come on back.
Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. Found my way downstairs and drank a cup. And looking up, I noticed I was late. Found my coat and grabbed my hat. Made the bus in seconds flat. Found my way upstairs and had a smoke. And somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Jonathan Scott here on Vegas Nonstop on 920 The Game. You can also watch Vegas Nonstop on our new Roku channel, Primetime. Listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Alexa, and on our website, www.vegasnonstop.com. In studio, superfan Tom White, actors John DiDomenico, and triple threat Adrian Zimmet. So we're talking NFL draft. Tom White, you want to lead the charge here and talk about what's been going on and what surprises there's been? I know there was less than four quarterbacks picked in the first round.
Yes, and to my point of view, I don't think that's a surprise at all. The quarterback class this season, I think, has been very, very weak. A lot, obviously, Kyler Murray went number one overall to the Cardinals, and they love him, and I hope they're happy with him. Had he not picked him, I don't know where he would have gone. I mean, he could have fallen out of the first round for, you know, I don't think he would have, but he could have fallen at an Aaron Rodgers type of fall.
Does this mean that their current quarterback is Rosen, right?
Yes, Josh Rosen.
What happens to him? He was their number one pick.
Well, this is interesting. Right now, the trade talk is that they're talking to Miami about trading Rosen to Miami. Okay. However, he has an $8 million cap hit if they trade him. He only has a $3 million cap hit if they keep him. So I would not be surprised to see them hold on to him and let them battle it out. And then week two or three in the season, when somebody goes down, suddenly his value is going to be much more significant than it is now.
Right, right.
So as of today, and I'm looking here at ESPN, I haven't seen any news about it. The last I heard was they are talking to Miami about possibly trading him there. So time will tell. We'll see what happens.
And what about for the Eagles with Dillard? Anything?
With Dillard?
Yeah.
I thought Dillard was I'm such a draft nerd. Mm-hmm. I actually went to Mobile, Alabama in January and went to the Senior Bowl. And yeah,
who was your date?
It was Dillard was my date. And I'm hooked up with some guys on another broadcast that got us into the practices. So we sat there and watched practice for 3 days. I was pretending I was the Chargers GM, so I was looking at offensive, defensive line. I learned a tremendous amount.
You used your acting skills.
There's not a lot of difference between casting and in making a draft pick. You're still looking for the same kind of talent that fits your system. And I went in absolutely blind. I didn't do any homework, so I could just see and have these players jump out and see who I thought were really good. And the two guys that caught my eye was Montez Sweat, the defensive end from Mississippi, who went in the first round, and Andre Dillard, the tackle from Washington State. And to me, after looking at all of the other guys that are, you know, on the board here for tackles, he was the best tackle on the board, in my opinion.
Wow.
And I think he's going to be a great addition to the Eagles. The other team I thought that had a great draft, we were talking earlier, was the Giants. I wasn't crazy about Daniel Jones as a choice. I would have taken Haskins myself, but they like him, so that's good for them. But in the later rounds, they get Dexter Lawrence and then DeAndre Baker. Dexter Lawrence is just going to fill up the middle of that defensive line, and helped them in their run game tremendously. And DeAndre Baker was the Jim Thorpe Award winner at cornerback. So that was a great first round for them.
Cool.
I'm just amazed how the draft itself has become this enormous,
isn't it amazing?
Event. You look what's happening in Nashville, and you think years ago it was, you know, guys at a phone bank and making phone calls, and it was almost like this something that wasn't, you know, external, and now it's totally external. It's event. People travel to these cities to watch people make announcements.
Yeah, and
it's, you know, they're just making an announcement.
200,000 people on Broadway in Nashville last night to watch the NFL draft. I think it's great. I'm particularly excited because next year the NFL draft comes here.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
We are going to host the NFL draft.
What hotel?
I don't know any of the specifics.
That's exciting.
It occurred to me, though, that with my production background, I'm making a call on Monday to the NFL office to find out who is coordinating this and see if I can get on staff, because I would love to do it.
When is the Raiders Stadium supposed to be finished?
2020. Not this season.
I think I heard Mandalay Bay.
So will it be finished for the draft next year?
No, I don't think it'll be finished by April.
Ah, okay.
But we'll
see.
They
are moving fast, though.
It
was like the T-Mobile when that went up. I've never seen anything go up so fast. This is going up relatively fast.
Well, try Viagra.
Yeah. The Viagra Stadium. There you go.
The Viagra Stadium. It went up fast. So, Tom, what about the Raiders? Have they made any?
The Raiders, actually, I thought their first pick was kind of lame. They picked a guy out of Clemson, a defensive end named Clelin Ferrell, who is a first rounder. There's no question about that. But they passed over a lot of guys to get to him. Josh Allen, who I thought was the best player in the draft, they passed over. They passed over a couple other guys to pick this guy. And in most of the mocks that I had seen and participated in, he was in the 20s range, you know, the late teens, early 20s. And they pick him at 4 was quite a leap. After that, though, I thought they did a nice job. They picked up the running back out of Alabama, Josh Jacobs, at 25. And then at 27, they were able to pick up Jonathan Abrams, the safety out of Mississippi State, and I thought that was a really good pick.
So our Bears, they've got fourth round.
The Bears have yet third. Yet to appear.
Yeah, yet to appear. Yet. Well, we gave up the farm for Mac, so, you know.
Yes, and you also gave it up for Trubisky, so,
yeah.
And well worth it, I thought. I mean, You're gonna suffer a little bit this year in the draft, but you'll be back on board next year, and they're building a good team in Chicago, I think.
Well, we certainly didn't expect them to do what they did last year, based on the new coach and Trubisky taking over completely, and also hopefully it is they just get better and better at this point. Yeah.
So John, Eagles are your team?
Yeah. Since I was a little kid. Because you have to stick with them through.
Stick with them. I heard Eagles fans. Eagles fans are supposed to be the worst fans.
Oh, well, they're horrible people, but that's just Philly in general.
I'm always amazed at Philadelphia that actually has not only a jail, but a courtyard.
Yeah,
court,
they used to have
their
court.
Stadium.
They had a processing
court. And they
court.
Are proud of it.
Yeah. Well, that was Veterans Stadium, so. You know, I don't think it's in the link now.
It is. No, they still have it.
Really?
They still have it there. Yeah.
I thought they got.
No, they have an electrocution chair now in the stadium.
That's for the people they like.
That's only because the rack broke, so they had to bring in the electric chair.
Old Sparky. So we've got Adrian Zometa studio. We've got John DiDomenico and superfan Tom White. We're going to come back and talk about baseball a little bit.
And Totally Outrageous Brunch.
And Totally Outrageous.
Have you
brunch.
Heard about the Totally Outrageous Brunch?
I heard
brunch?
It was voted the best 1 o'clock Sunday, 1:15 show on the strip.
In the SLS Sayers room.
Yes.
Other than that, we're up against.
We've got an Amazon special we want to talk about, too. So anyway, you could find us on our new Roku channel, Primetime. Listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Alexa, and on our website, VegasNonstop.com. You're listening to us here on 920 The Game. We're going to take a short commercial break. Come on back.